All you groovy guys, gals, and ghouls, are you ready to get down?
Ghouly grooves.
Oh, yeah, baby.
Yo, boils and ghouls, pulling up a bar stool with me right now is the man with the black tooth growl. That's right. From the Bloody Jug Band, it is Cragmire Peace. What's up, brother?
How you doing, Johnny?
All right. Thanks for being here. You know, this is, your third time with us on the show?
Yeah, third or fourth, yeah.
Yeah, I was going to say, yeah, usually people lose our number after the first visit, so thank you for coming back.
Yeah, I'm begging you. I'm always begging you guys to get on. I want to be a regular, man.
So I was going to say, since we last talked, man, you cats have been busy. You guys just did a really kick-ass video for Roadkill Boys.
Yeah, that was kind of the last hoorah of that album. That album came out in 2012, and then it was kind of relaunched. We got a German record label we've signed with probably since we've spoken, and they wanted to relaunch that album to the worldwide market in a bigger way. And so it's still getting some traction. So we came up with one last music video to kind of put the nail in the coffin of Coughing Up Blood, and. Yeah, it was for the song Roadkill Boys, which is probably not the most high-concept song of the album in regards to its grand storytelling, but we had this great idea to use Vulture puppets, or to use puppets and kind of do an homage to Jim Henson. So, it was certainly fun, and it was a great testament to our fans because it was a Indiegogo campaign, which is very similar to some of the listeners might know about Kickstarter campaigns and things, but the campaign to raise the money for the video was raised 100% through our fans. And that was really helpful to us, you know, from the budgetary standpoint, but also just a real testament to, you know, the belief that people have in the Bloody Jug Band and trying to get our brand and our artwork or art out there.
That's not your only recent video appearance, right? You just had some crazy cameo that you guys were in.
Yeah, it's not something you would typically think with the Bloody Jug Band. I think when we're talking about vultures and these other things. And then leaping to getting a call one day to have a cameo in this Pitbull, brand new Pitbull Kesha video, which is not my genre of music or my favorite genre of music, it's pop music, or dance music or whatever you want to say. But it was an interesting call. The new video for Pitbull is a song called Timber. And it has a little bit of an Americana feel to it, as harmonica, and a little bit more of that sensibility to a pop song. So they called us, and they were shooting down in Miami, and needed a jug band, or the director wanted a jug band, and instead of trying to cast and find all that stuff, they looked on that interweb thing that we all know so much about.
Those crazy, crazy interwebs. You'll find anything on the interwebs.
Yes, and so I think that they just dug us up, and, you know, if you come up sort of looking for jug bands, I think we're probably in this day and age one of the main things that pop up, and it was just great. We were in their backyard, so we were in there. I think when it was all said and done, I mean, I don't think we were in there for 10 seconds, but, you know, that's a lot of seconds, because every one of these, you know, MTV editing, you know, 4 seconds, 5 seconds, that's a year in the MTV editing world, because they love their quick cuts and stuff. But it was great. It was just something for the band. It was a good payday for us. It was good exposure. The video itself, I mean, conversely, Roadkill Boys, I think, is just about to hit 5,000-6,000 views. And the Kesha Pitbull video, I think, within 2 weeks, hit 10 million views. So,
aye, aye, aye. Yeah.
So it's not something that we endorse in a sense of I don't think we'll be touring with Pitbull and Kesha anytime soon. but it was cool.
You guys have been busy having another EP out called Murder of Crows, which I got to tell you is really kick-ass. I'm really, really digging it. So is that part of a bigger album that's coming out, or how are you guys doing the release?
Yeah, we learned a lot from the first album with our producer, Justin Beckler. When we released it, we released the full album, all 13 tracks. We played some of the music on your show. And, you know, instead of waiting so much longer to finish the next album, which we're in the middle of recording, we thought, let's just take 4 songs, come out with an EP, especially for radio purposes and that type of stuff. You know, these radio stations don't want you sending them 13 songs, and they get overwhelmed by that. And so normally they ask you to earmark 4 or 5 anyway. So for us, it made sense that while we're wrapping up or we're completing the recording process, which is still going to take several more months, let's get the music out there. The fans wanted it, and we felt like the old thing, you know, the old album. I'm sure some people are hearing it for the first time, but for us it was getting stale, so we wanted to put out some new music. And so Murder of Crows EP has four new tracks, one of which is a song called Murder of Crows, but it's four brand new original songs from the Bloody Jug Band. It's just to get some new stuff out there and help bridge the gap between now and when the actual second album comes out.
And how would you describe the sound or where you guys, you know, are in terms of the music? Is it, you know, what we would expect from the Bloody Jug Band? Are you doing anything a little bit different or going in a different direction? Because I would say that the title track to me sounds, you know, like quintessential murder, you know, quintessential you. You know, I mean, it sounds like you guys. And then The Undertaker seems like it's in a, maybe a little bit of a different vibe, a little bit of a different direction. You know, how's the rest of the music?
Well, you know, I think I think it's a conscious choice to try to grow. I think that when we were recording the first album, the Coffin of Blood album, which we had demos before that and other EPs, but, you know, that was our first full-length album with a major producer. You know, I think that during the process, we probably thought we were taking a lot of chances, but now looking back, we probably did some safe choices in that and didn't take as many chances. And the last thing we want to do, I mean, I guess that's a problem for being a fan of music. You know, either you want more of the same, but then when you get more of the same, you bitch that it's more of the same. You know, I just bought the 21st studio Motorhead album, Aftershock, and, you know, it's more of the same, and that's cool, but I've got another 15 Motorhead albums that I can listen to have.
Right.
Yeah, that on. You know, and I'm a big fan of, like, a Tom Waits, for instance. Tom Waits is always, every new album, even though it's still Tom Waits, he's trying to push himself into some new boundaries. For us, these are all still songs written by the Bloody Jug Band. It's coming from the same sensibility, but I would say from the recording process, we're trying to take a little bit more chances, or now that we understand what we can do in the studio, maybe try to take a different approach. Also because we are trying to you know, get some of that Pitbull Kesha money, you know, that seems so plentiful. It doesn't normally trickle down to where we're at. That, you know, I think taking an approach of making songs, kind of analyzing music, and taking The Undertaker, for your point, you know, that's a very got a big, grand song. So trying to make add a little bit more production value and make the songs a little bigger, because, you know, I could have given some, you know, another 13 tracks, or we could have given as a band another 13 tracks of straightforward, spooky Americana music, and it's all coming from that same sensibility, but I do think that, you know, we have to grow as artists and not just duplicate ourselves, even if we're duplicating some some themes from album to album. There's always going to have some similarities in that respect, but, you know, we want to continue to push ourselves as artists, and hopefully if somebody is following our career, they'll appreciate that, because, like I said, if they want to listen to Coffin Up Blood or more Coffin Up Blood, they can just put it back in their car and listen to it again. You know, I'd rather give them 13 tracks of new music that's forging a little bit new ground, and hopefully, you know, we're growing as a band, and we want to show that kind of growth in our subsequent albums and shows. And it's like saying, you know, I saw the band 2 years ago or 5 years ago, and seeing us then going, wow, you guys are different, or you're doing different stuff. Well, it's, yeah, we're always growing and evolving, and I think this is just the next step in that.
Yeah. And I was going to say, I sensed a little bit of that on, you know, the four tracks from the EP, and, you know, everybody sounds great. You know, I think all the production sounds wonderful. Everybody's instruments sound great. And as always, I always gush, but you and Stormy together, the vocalizations, the harmonies are just amazing. I just think you guys just have such a great sound.
Well, I think that's a testament, too, to the, I think also working with the same producer, working with the same guy, Justin Becklers, and he, you know, through the last process, you know, really became an extra member of the band. You know, his voice, it's not just recording music. I mean, he is an actual producer that challenges us and pushes us and tries to take maybe humble music into another level, you know. He wants to create top-notch music as well and push us to not just do the easy or go, you know, repeat ourselves. And I think that even with Stormy and I noticed personally, even within these four songs, taking different vocal approaches to songs, having a little bit more fun or not being so serious, taking different things, because, you know, once again, it's not inspiring to me to do 13 more tracks of me growling on every track and doing stuff. So the fact that we can, you know, challenge ourselves as artists and musicians, you know, it's really good. It's not always comfortable. I'll tell you that doing it is not always something comfortable in the moment, but looking back, it's like, wow, it's really great. We took certain, you know, different approaches to things. Even the banjo, we're introducing the banjo for the first time on this album. One of our new members, Steve-el, that plays electric guitar, slide guitar, and banjo with us, and we recorded some of that on the album. So even that's just giving somebody a little bit something different. It's not something we do all the time playing out live, but it's something that, you know, I feel like the live show and the album should be something different, because if you went to the live show, you can come to another live show, you know, but I feel like it shouldn't be a carbon copy. They should both be able to be appreciated in different realms there.
Are you going to maybe do a tour? Or are you guys, you know, going to get out there a little bit more that we can try to catch you outside of Florida?
We've got something in the works. We're trying to get a European tour together. There's a big European Americana band that wants to come to America for the first time.
Wow.
And so our record label, since it's based in Germany, and we have always done well in that Netherlands, Germany kind of market, or globally, you know, we've always had a lot of traction like that. So
like,
we're hoping to do some dates with them over here and then go back to Europe. That's still in the works. But for us, it's until something makes sense, either we can hitch our wagon to a bigger band or get the right opportunity. It's very tough for, you know, when we play live, we have, you know, normally, you know, 7 to 8 members that play on stage with us. Financially, I think it's financially tough for a 3-piece band to go out and tour on their own steam. For us, even though we do have the recognition and we do have a lot of these great things working for us, it's very expensive and problematic to have so many people walk away from their lives.
Right.
Stormy, my godson Bodhi, he just turned a year old in November. You know, many of us have mortgages. You know, we all, you know, range from 21 to 63 years old, and so we all have our personal lives.
Right.
We play literally, I mean, last Saturday, we played 2 shows in 1 day, 2 festivals, played in Tampa and Orlando in the same day. We've got,
wow,
you know, I've got more shows in December than we can almost have time to play, because we're really at a great place as far as, you know, people wanting us to play in these opportunities.
I was going to mention, I saw, I almost caught you guys last year. I was in Orlando and Punta Gorda for 2 weeks, and I saw, is it February? You're back in Punta Gorda?
We're going down the coast, playing at Punta Gorda. The Celtic Ray has always been good to us. Down in Fort Myers, we always play the Zombie Con, some of the horror type stuff. And so, but that area, it's really funny for us. I mean, people would go, wow, why is it a big deal that you're going to Punta Gorda? Well, in the scheme of things, it's not, but it's funny to go, when you go to some of these smaller communities, you know, living and breathing in Orlando and their cutthroat music scene and a million different genres and a million different live venues that are going on at every night of the week. To go to these smaller communities, sometimes the receptions we get are so much greater because, like I said, even in Orlando, in our very own backyard, every given night there's so much shit to do that when you go to these other communities that maybe only have a few live venues or have a smaller music scene, when we go there, it's funny, out of all the places we've played, that Punta Gorda area is probably a place that I get more response from fans going, when are you coming back, than I do,
yeah,
you know, in a lot of these other areas and these other markets. So I think that's cool. And for us, you know, we want to go where the fans appreciate us, not just always where the dollars or the big stadiums or anything else, but we want to, you know, we go to this place, we build relationships, we sell merch, and it's a place that we can go back to time and time again and always have a great time. And that's part of what we're into it for. We want to certainly grow the business and the brand and everything else, but as you know, you guys couldn't do what you do if it wasn't for the amazing fans and listeners. And for us, that's not lost on us. We're not so full of our own, you know, hype and bullshit that's lost on us. That was one thing we noticed working with Kesha and some of those other people, that when you get to a certain level, I don't know when you start to like become oblivious to those other people around you.
Right.
But for us, it's those fans that are wearing our t-shirts and putting our stickers on their car and and downloading the music. And, you know, we were at a festival the other day that some kid found us on Spotify and was listening to us like crazy, and just happened that he was able to come to one of the shows because he was in Orlando, and so, or he was in a town that weekend. And so it was great because this guy, you know, that was meant something to him, and that means something to us, you know. And
sure.
Like I said, we're always humbled by that. It's a fine line to be confident about what you're doing and also be humble about it. And sometimes, you know, as a band, that's a tough thing to walk, because as people, I think overall you want to be humble about your art. But from the business side, you know, you have to sometimes, you know, be confident and teach people how to treat you and kind of put that out there.
So, dude, we're going to wrap it up, but like, where can we find you on the internet and catch up, you know, with all of what's going on with the Bloody Jug Band?
Yes, if you're out there searching the World Wide Web, you can find us at bloodyjugband.com. Obviously, for more timely things, you know, Facebook and Twitter, that type of stuff, we're at facebook.com/bloodyjugband. And on Twitter, Big Daddy Germ handles the Twitter stuff. I still, to this day, haven't forced myself to tweet, but we're the BJB Twitter. And, you know, but Facebook's normally the best because that's the thing we have the most relevant stuff. We're always posting photos and stuff. But obviously, you know, that's, it depends on what level of fan, you know, that people want to be. But all of our music, even this new EP that we're talking about, is now available on iTunes and Amazon and all the digital outlets out there. And they can always find the hard copies and stuff on our website as well.
All right, man. As always, I really, really appreciate it. We're huge fans, and we're really proud and happy to have you as a friend of the show.
Well, Johnny, you and Chris are amazing, and what you guys do for us and the exposure that you know, the podcast and everything has given to us is just absolutely amazing. We don't get enough outlets to reach out to that horror-type fan. Sometimes we get too pigeonholed with the Americana scene and some of that stuff. So to reach out to like-minded fans that kind of like the same thematic and you know, horror, spooky fare is really just a great outlet for us. So we can't thank you guys enough for the exposure.
Podcast. Haunting Halloween and horror.